Popcorn Culture is supported by Fiji Water. Okay, y'all, it is summer, and for me personally, that means it is finally the season to use the brand new boat, where, of course, hydration is key because it is super hot out there, and we will be doing that with Fiji Water because it really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. As the water filters through the volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as any other top two premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And gosh, soft, I love that descriptor because it is so exactly spot on. If you've ever drank Fiji Water, it is soft water to drink. And unlike some of the other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water, and since 2022, its 330 milliliter and 500 milliliter bottles have been produced in 100% recycled plastic, so you can feel proud of your choice in bottled water. Get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick up some today for your next backyard party, hike, beach, pool, or lake day. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
Woo. What does that sound?
I don't know. Touch my
cord. Now who's touching things?
Dang it. That is the Ben Carlin karma effect.
Yeah, right.
Just literally right there. Mm-hmm. In one, I believe in it.
Yeah.
Wholeheartedly.
It there
just,
you go.
It's just a real thing. Nice. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay. Poppin', everybody. Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Glad to be here, Ben, because it sounds like over the weekend you maybe almost didn't make it a couple of times.
Jay, I almost didn't make it a couple of times.
A couple of times.
Yeah, like two whole full times. Okay, so I have to overshare. I'm like, there's like a piece of the story. I was thinking about it all weekend. I was like, at some point, I'm going to get to the work on Monday. I'm going to have to tell this story, and I'm going to have to include all of the details because I feel like they are essential to like what led me to two almost nearly like hospital ending injuries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One of which could have been incredibly, incredibly severe.
Yeah.
But I'm obviously okay. See, all good, healthy, clean.
You're good. You're fine.
Yeah. Yes. But unlike, I don't think it's any mystery that like anxiety is an aspect of my life, right? So I have to include this backstory. Yes, it's come up a couple of times. I just started like a new medication for it, which is the thing. So like when I'm talking to the psychiatrist, he was sort of like, okay, here's the thing. Anxiety can be a great tool for some people.
Yeah.
And like sometimes anxiety is actively driving you to do things because your fear of whatever negative that may happen causes you to do a whole bunch of things in a way that like kind of is like going overboard, and it can be like exhausting.
Right.
And then other ways that anxiety can manifest is sometimes more in like a shutdown capacity. It's like, you don't want to go get like in your car and like go anywhere or go do anything or try new things because
right.
the anxiety or the fear of failure like stops you. So
right.
like in some ways it can be a driver. In other ways it can be more of like a holding you back type of thing.
Okay.
And so the idea was sort of like, all right, if you're going to be like relaxing your anxiety or pulling that layer back a little bit, then it'll be interesting to see how it impacts your day-to-day life. So I bring that up because I am normally somebody who is like constantly inside of that like worst case scenario brain.
Mm-hmm.
It's like just about anything I've ever done. Like, you know, like we've talked like about a lot of our cliff jumping antics throughout
yeah.
the year. Oftentimes I will be like writing the headline narrative that is, you know, sort of like podcast host dies after, you know, backflip in ravine.
Right.
It's like, you know, like I'm like imagining like, you know, what is that like extreme worst case scenario all the time. And so over the weekend, I'm having these things happen, and I'm like, okay, do I need to be careful because my less anxious mind is leaving me susceptible to serious injury?
Oh.
So that's how we got there. That's why I bring it up, because I was like, I feel like maybe it's like a necessary part of the story. But so otherwise, so it's, yeah, so new thing, whatever.
Right. So you feel like the medication's working is what I'm hearing.
Potentially.
I guess so.
That or I'm just reckless.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Because like, I have no idea how it works out. But like, it's supposed to take like several like really like weeks to be like getting into your system and stuff.
Typically weeks. Yes,
okay.
Yes,
so you've been on it for like a few days.
Yeah, it's just a few days. Okay. Yeah. So
maybe like, you're just placeboing into it.
Maybe I'm just placeboing into it. So yeah, I don't disagree with that assessment at all.
Okay. What did you do, Ben?
For utter full clarity. No. So, okay. One of the things is that I often also enjoy talking about and mowing my yard. It's just sort of like one of those like passive activities where I'm allowed to go and like my mind can wander. I can listen to my books, you know, like all that type of stuff. Super enjoy doing like the yard work and that type of thing. One of the things that I recently stumbled across was somebody like basically displaying the top of a freshly cut blade of grass. And if it is like a perfect shear across the top, then your lawnmower blade is perfectly sharp and is in good standing. But if you have more of like a jaggedy top, then that can actually cause your yard to look almost like more brown in coloration or like discolored, because it actually is like leaving just a little bit of the tip of each blade of grass in like a halfway dead capacity.
I see.
And so I was like, okay, I'm researching like how often should you be sharpening your lawnmower blade? And it's like, you should do it like twice per season. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Got it. Once a decade. Cool.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. Okay. So I've never done it.
Yeah.
not once. So it's like one of those things where I'm like, okay, like, you know, that I can work on that. So I went, you know, to the store, and there's like a little grinding stone that you can buy that you attach to your power drill. And you literally just like, you know, you can take the blade off of the bottom of the mower, you attach it to the drill, fix it on the side, and then just basically go back and forth, and it like sort of like smooths it down. It's like a freshly sharpened blade.
Yeah.
So the thing was, though, is that the blade obviously is essentially a flat piece of metal underneath your mower. And in the process of taking it off, you're normally supposed to mark, just like with a Sharpie or something, the side that faces out, so that when you reattach it, you don't accidentally reattach it facing
like upside down
the wrong way.
Right, so you don't turn it on and not cut anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Then you would like literally have the blunt end of both sides of metal that are like coming in contact with the grass, and they would do nothing.
Right, you'd just be fanning your lawn.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. And there's even a part of me that like would worry it like could potentially throw off the balance of the mower. I don't know if that actually could be the case or not. But anyway, so I have my mower like tipped up and everything, and I've done like some of the safety precautions, like, you know, to hold it up in place, you know, like removed the fuel and stuff like that, I guess. But like one of the things I guess I didn't totally think about was like, I'm going to put the blade on underneath, and I'm like, man, is it facing the right way or the wrong way? So like I sort of like stick it on there, and I'm like, I think this is right. And I'm sort of like, you know, like wiggling it and like trying to like imagine. So I take like the bolt, I attach the bolt back in, and then I'm like literally looking at it, and I'm just like rotating the blade like with my hand to imagine like, okay, you know, what would it look like as I'm like mowing through the grass? Because it's hard to figure out like, you know, a circular pattern and everything.
Right.
And then I'm like, I'm sitting there and occurring to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, when you pull the pull string on your mower, the function that you are causing to happen is the rotation of the blade. So like, that is what the pull string does.
Right.
That is like what jump starts the motor.
Gotcha.
And so there I am having my mower tipped up, and I am rotating the blade by hand.
Right.
You know? And so it's like, I mean, it is very unlikely that it could happen. Although it's like in this moment where I'm like, oh my gosh, like it occurs to me that you're like almost handling like a loaded weapon.
Right.
You know, it's like,
do you not need to normally, I mean, I don't know what your lawnmower looks like. Don't you normally have to have like the clutch pulled down on the handlebar? And pulling the cord?
I suppose maybe you do.
Yeah.
I suppose maybe you do. So maybe I wasn't as a dangerous situation I could be. But like, I didn't like, you know, undo the spark plug, you know? So
yeah.
it's like conceivably through the process of like rotating this blade, it's like
you might have accidentally started it.
Right, right. So I probably the equivalent would be like, you know, handling like a firearm or something and just like haphazardly like pulling the trigger as if it's like that couldn't be dangerous.
Right.
You know, so it's like maybe in the scheme of things, it's like nothing terrible could have happened, but it's also like, okay, but still you're handling like, you know, a very aggressive blade with your hands. And so like that moment of like, oh my gosh, like if this thing had fired up, my hands are in it.
Right.
Like, you know, it's like,
ooh, yeah.
Like, you know, so I'm like reading online and, you know, people, it's like, could you start like up, like by accidentally turning it? And people are like, technically you could. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know what? You asked about the pull, the having the throttle down. The way that I safely lifted this thing was I leaned it backwards and used a dumbbell to hold it down to the ground. And so it was depressed.
Oh my gosh,
that didn't even occur to me until you asked that. And I was like, okay, you know what? This is a bad story because I wasn't in that much danger. And then I was like, no, oh, I'm even more of an idiot.
Dude, yeah, that maybe don't do that part either.
Yeah. Okay. So nobody listened to me. Wow. Don't take advice from me.
Okay. Jeez. Whoo.
So anyway, yeah. So I have this like total like freak out moment where like it literally, I've described it before, like with the backflip situation, where like sometimes I'm like, am I living in like an alternate reality where things just went differently? And in that moment, while I'm like sitting there, like I broke out into a full sweat, butt planted on the floor. And I was just like looking at my hands, like, is there a different universe right now where I'm like not looking at my hands?
Where you're handless.
Yeah. And you know, like my phone's sitting next to me and I'm like, how would I even call Alice? Like,
right.
You know, like that occurs to me. Like,
oh my god,
could you imagine being in that type of frantic situation and being like, hey Siri? Like,
I think you'd be screaming pretty hard. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it would just be, I'd be so, I think I would pass out. Is what,
yeah, there's no doubt.
So that was day one.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, but you survived. You have your hands intact.
I have my hands intact.
Yes.
Thank goodness. I know everybody right now. Probably, I feel like this. We should have like given like a heads up, like a viewer discretion advised.
Before, I know. Jeez, man.
Before diving into this one. So anyway, then it's the next day, you know, I'm all better.
You're all better here, ready to face the world. Invincible, basically.
What could go wrong? Yeah. So anyway, Alice and I have this like outdoor pergola space that we've had for years now. Actually, I think it's crazy to me to say for years because it was built since the pop started. So it's like now it's just a fixture of my home. It's like it's always been there. But like we've only, you know, had it built since we started doing the pop.
Yeah.
So like the people listening, if you've listened to like from the beginning, you would have like heard the pergola and the concrete pad and like that whole situation,
right,
go up. But anyway, so we've got the space back there. And one of the things is that like kind of bothers Alice a little bit is we, like if we're out sitting underneath the pergola, there are people, there's like this like 20-foot section where people can like walk by if they're just like walking their dog and just basically turn their head and be looking straight at us.
Right.
So okay. We went out, we bought this big like sunshade. So it's like a like an 8-foot long like shade that can go from the top of the pergola down to the bottom of the pergola, and it essentially creates like a kind of wall.
Okay.
To
separate. Yeah.
So we're having a lot of fun.
It's like a
out
privacy
there.
Screen.
It's like a privacy screen. Yeah. So we're having a lot of fun out there. Like, you know, we're sort of revamping the space. Like, you know, it's, you know, we're in spring proper. We're definitely out there more often. Addie's playing out there more often and stuff. So we're like, okay, like let's rearrange some of the furniture. Let's sweep up. We'll clean. We'll throw some stuff away that's just been like sitting there and accumulating, like, you know, sort of just stuff,
yeah,
for a while. So one of the things that's driven me crazy forever since I moved into my house is there is like someone had there are no exterior outlets on my home at all.
Okay.
So it's like every single time you need to do something outside, I always have to run an outlet or a generator,
right,
in order to have power outside.
Got it.
And clearly the previous owners of the house or someone before them were annoyed by this fact. So this area that we spend a lot of time at, like entertaining, has got this like one wire that sticks out of the wall. Like it's literally like an extension cord, as if somebody like drilled a hole, put the cord through the wall, and then like sealed the hole. So
right.
It's just a cord coming out of the wall.
They just made their own outdoor outlet.
They made their own outdoor outlet. Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's never worked since I've lived there.
Right, like you've tried plugging stuff into it.
I've tried plugging stuff into it, and it doesn't work. It's always been like such a pain, and it just sort of like dangles because there's nowhere to put it. You can't pull it through the wall. It's like fixed through the wall.
Right.
So I was like, okay, no big deal. I have a set of wire cutters. I'm just going to go and just like clip this thing. And then, you know, then it'll just be like a little like nubbin sticking out of the wall.
Right.
Like barely noticeable. Won't mm-hmm. be a big deal. So I, you know, I go out there and I'm sort of like, yeah, it doesn't work, whatever. So I go to clip it with my wires. Well, then I connect the wires and apparently they are still super hot. And there is just a loud bang.
Woo.
As I cut through the wires. And my brand new wire cutters have like a gouge mark in the metal.
Wow.
From where it like popped.
Wow.
So I mean it was like a flashbang type situation.
Whew.
And I'm just like, I mean, literally, I was even having trouble like cutting through the wire. So I literally almost like held the metal bits with my hand.
Right. There's like that little sign from God where it's like, I can't do this. And you're like, no, let me go ahead and just circumvent and go extra hard.
Just go. Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like
the warning was there, Ben.
I know. Yeah. It's like, I don't understand why I can't cut through this. Hang on. Let me just add a little pressure up at the metal bits.
Yeah.
And then it pops and I'm just like sitting. And again, I fall on my butt and like Alice is like, what was that? And I was like, the wire was still alive. Look at this. I'm like looking at the metal. I mean, I just can't believe the fact that there is like a scar in the metal from this thing. I'm like, whoa, okay. So I run inside the house and I'm sort of like, what is the other end of this wire? Like I've never known where this wire goes and it's never worked. And sure enough, it's just like, it's like run through the cement and just plugged into an outlet. And I'm like,
why doesn't it work?
Why doesn't it work? Two, how did I not know that? I mean, surely it was. Like, I don't know what else I would have thought. But, like, in my mind, I'm like, a more careful or worried version of me, I feel like, would have investigated further. But, like, this other version of me was almost just like, nah, what's the worst that could happen?
Man, it just seems, I guess, like, I'm trying to wonder what could have happened. Like, I guess maybe, like, the act of being exposed caused it to, like, not work, but not to not conduct electricity. Or something,
maybe, or I mean, like it is just an extension cord that's just been dangling outside in the elements for like years.
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe it's just like the water got into like the holes or whatever,
right.
And it's just sort of like corroded or you know. So like electricity was still running up till where it didn't, and then maybe even the process of cutting it completed the circuit.
Jeez, dude, that is scary.
I know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, I should just not be allowed near tools. Like, I'm like not a crazy handy person, but I'm like an okay-ish handy person.
Yeah, you're like pretty handy. Yeah. You made some stuff.
Yeah.
You got a lot of power tools and things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, even like safety, like, you know, I took wood shop in high school. Like, you know, I mean, it's not like, it's not something I'm concerned with.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't know. So I was just like, what was this weekend for me? Cause it was not my best showing.
Oh man. I had, not a super similar, but I was, we have some like, you know, string lights outside and over the, like some are like strung like over sort of like the bottom of the railing of the deck or whatever. So over time, some of the bulbs have been shattered by either wind or children or something.
Right.
And just sort of like, I think they're probably still fine, but it's just sort of like the light bulb itself is like sort of exposed because there's no glass there anymore.
Okay.
Like if you were to plug it in, it would still light up. I don't know.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
But so I was just trying to like remove those things, and it was like I also had to take some like pliers because there's nothing to grab onto because the bulb is gone.
Right.
So
right.
I'm like, everything's unplugged, but I'm reaching in and I'm like, God, I hope this is okay to do.
You know? Right.
Like, it's not plugged into anything right now. It shouldn't do anything. But like, you know, sometimes I, you know, like sometimes if you turn your car off, but you can still like open the windows and stuff until you've broken the circuit by opening the door.
Exactly.
Or something. Yeah.
It's
like,
is
there
residual electricity?
Yeah. Is there like a little something here? Or I had one where I was trying to replace the light, like the oven light, you know, the light bulb in the back of your oven that just shows you what's cooking inside. That just broke. And, you know, it's one of those things like, this is the very last light bulb in my house that I'm concerned with.
Yes,
at
ever,
all.
Yes.
Ever. And it was just like, I went to go see what it was. And I was like, I think I can actually just replace. I think we have a bulb somehow that's going to fit this one. And that one, I went to put the new bulb in and something just popped. And I was like, what the heck was that?
Oh, my
gosh. You know, my hands were all black. I was like, what just happened? Why? What was different? How many light bulbs have I changed?
Right. I know. Yeah. How many J's does it take to screw the light bulb?
Right.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. This is such an incredibly non-OSHA approved episode.
Yeah, I know. Right. Well, sometimes it's like, you know, if you turn the light switch off, you're like, yeah, you're good. But then like, if you know, I'm sure if you read the expert would tell you like, don't just turn the light off. Also go down to the break room and flip the switch on the entire thing. And it's like, that feels like a real big hassle. I don't know. It's never not worked before.
I know. No. Yeah. Yeah. Right, yeah. It's 1000%. Well, and that was exactly like my lawnmower situation. Like, you know, I think like I'm aware of some of like the precautions or whatever, but I'm like, in the history of every lawnmower I've ever lived with ever, I can't think of one that ever just spontaneously started.
Oh, I know.
You know, but then it was like, I think what finally dawned on me, cause I was like, people are being so like, you know, over the top about this. And it's like, no, you're handling the part that makes it begin, like,
right?
You know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's like, yeah, it'd be so, because like I've never had like most lawnmowers take like two or three cranks with the string, which spins it really fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know? With absolute intention. And, yeah. And I mean, I'm basically just like barely moving it enough to see like, would this cut? Does this make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. Or have you ever like, I don't know. I've had this happen with the grill before, like where I've turned the gas on and then like just let it not hit the igniter fast enough, and it's like there's just extra gas and it's like fireball. You ever done that?
Oh, yeah, I've had a fireball.
Scare the absolute pants off you.
Yes,
you're just like, whoa!
And eyebrows for that.
Yes,
matter.
Yes, and eyebrows. Woo, boy, that's a real nerve wracking one.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other, actually, on the note of your car example, that's the other thing that happened to me. So I'm sure I've told the story in the pot once before, but once upon a time, Alice for Valentine's Day gave me a gift certificate to have my truck detailed. And so she brought it to the place. And whoever detailed it, like, attacked my vehicle.
Dude, this is so true. Yes.
With malice.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it is the strangest thing that like maybe has ever happened in like just like a transactionary basis in my life, where I brought my vehicle to just have it thoroughly cleaned and they like damaged like 87 parts of it.
Right.
And it's like I say 87 and that's not an exaggeration.
Dude, I know. We were driving somewhere one day and someone went to go like open the window in the back and they just pressed the button and the whole button collapsed into the side of the door and they were like, Ben, your button's gone.
I know, yeah. It's like,
it was like, what do you mean gone? And it looked over, it's like, oh, you mean gone?
It went in the door. Yeah. And
how?
This is all of them. So every single, I had to replace the switch because most of the time it's just me in my car. And so like I had to replace the whole like master switch setup on the driver's door so you can roll down all the windows from the driver's seat. Because that one fell into the abyss.
Yeah.
The passenger fell into the abyss. Both in the back, I've done the same. Like if you like flip down like my like the little like vanity mirror thing that is in like your sunshades.
Yeah.
Like the little light covers on both of those ripped off on both sunshades are like broken off. There's like a piece of like plastic behind the door handle that is just, it's just aesthetic. Like it's just there to like not be raw door behind it.
Right.
Both of those were ripped off of the car. And it's like, I mean, there's like button consoles, my side view mirror, like thing, like literally like dangle out just by like cords and stuff like this. And
yeah. It is like it who is, did this? It feels intentional.
Literally I was like, someone had like an axe to grind with me because they clearly like went through and just attacked is the only word I know how to describe it.
It feels like friend of a friend or something who, for some reason, had reason to dislike you, and they were like, oh my gosh, this is that Ben Carlin guy I've heard about. Well, I got your back, bro.
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to go pop everything off.
Right.
And they did.
And it'll look fine.
Right, yes, exactly. Even the center console, like, switch handles, so, like, you know, you, like, rest your like, right arm while you're driving on, like, the center console thing, the handle to open that was broken off. So that was one that actually happened with brother-in-law Mike. We were in the car and like we went to open it and it kept like popping up on us. And so he like ordered me and mailed me a new handle.
Man.
He was like, that was the most annoying thing. I had to drive for like 10 minutes. It was driving me absolutely nuts. He was like, fix it. Just fix it. So that you don't have to deal with it. So I did.
Oh my gosh. We had this part on our dishwasher. It is like the top rack, you can like slide it out.
Okay.
Right. And it's on those little runners. And so there's a little piece of plastic at the end of the runner that stops the wheels inside the runner from, you know, falling off the rack.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. So for the longest time in our new house, like shortly after moving there, one side of it broke. So anytime you pulled the top rack out, you had to like also pull out the bottom rack as far as it could so it wouldn't come out, or else like half of it would just like collapse and you'd have to like feed it back in. It was so annoying.
That is annoying.
And it's like one of those where it's like, you can of course just reorder this part if you're willing to go onto the Whirlpool website and look up your, you know,
like
dishwasher number and look up the exact piece. And there's like, you know, a 9-digit code because of course Whirlpool produces 10,000 components for all of their different things.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You got the like exploded diagram.
Yes.
It's sort of like, okay. You know, it's like, which one is it?
Super annoying. And we finally, like, you know, Beth was just like in a fit of annoyance one day, goes online, does the entire thing, and it arrives. And it was like, it was glorious. It was like one of the best, like, $3 components we'd ever ordered. But of course, that, like, the effort to get that $3 component was like so high. And there was like it was such a good like 2 days. And then what happened? I could not believe it. We got the new one installed. And then like 2 days later, the exact same piece on the other side broke off.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, why? Why did are you kidding me?
The other one's been doing so much heavy lifting.
Yeah, I know. So maybe it was like overcompensating. And as soon as it could break, it did. So we had like a good dishwasher for 2 days. Then we're like, we live with this for a while because Beth's like, I didn't want to go look up the component again. Like, I don't know where it was. You know, it took me forever to find. She's like, I was like, we got to do it. So she ordered it. And then it took forever to get there. And it actually finally arrives at our house while we're on the cruise earlier this year.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Yeah. And it was like, and so it arrived and it was on, like, we got the confirmation delivery. I remember her telling me on the cruise, like, the dishwasher piece is here. I was like, yes, amazing news. And then we got home, the wind had blown it away, gone forever. Not there.
And it was like, kidding.
What? Why? No, why? Because it's just like a little flimsy envelope. It's like, you know, doesn't even weigh an ounce. Oh, this tiny little thing. But this past weekend, We it is finally repaired. Both sides are functioning in the dishwasher. I know. It's like been such a journey with this annoying thing. And it's like, it's one of those things you normalize so quick. You're just like, yep, every time I pull it out, make sure I grab this extra part I'm not supposed to have to.
Yes, yeah.
Pull that out. Ugh.
No, well, I mean, so that's exactly like what I was going to say too, though, is that it's like, you know, I keep finding new problems. And at this point in time, like this like car detailing experience, you know, happened like 2 years ago for me. And so it's like maybe on some level, I'm just attributing modern day issues to that event, but it seems like not the case.
No, I don't think so. Like, components in your car don't just break off from like light wear and tear.
Right. So the one that happened recently was like, I'm like out in my car and I use cruise control always. Like I am such a, like, it's like one of those things where I feel like growing up, like when we were like 16, 17 years old, I feel like we got pulled over just all the time.
All the time.
Constantly.
All the time.
And I was like, I am so tired of being pulled over. And so it was just like, at some point it was just like, speeding, just not worth it. It's just not worth it. Like, I'm going to be so mad if I get a speeding ticket. So
I was in high school. You're right. Like, you know, we got pulled over a lot. And I remember I was in psychology, like psych one or whatever. I don't know. High school psychology.
Right. Right.
It was just this very basic class. And so it was like a mixed bag of like different, you know, like sophomores and juniors and seniors and stuff.
Okay.
And there was this one guy who otherwise would have been just like, you know, Joe Cool, literally wore like one of the few people in our school who like wore a Letterman jacket.
Nice.
Was like on the wrestling team, was on the football team, was dating very, you know, otherwise popular girl.
Right.
And it was just like, you know, would otherwise be just like, yeah, I don't care. I would have bet you money that as a high school male, this guy sped everywhere.
Okay.
And I remember the teacher obviously felt the same way. She literally singled him out and was like, I bet you speed. And he's like, I don't speed anywhere. And it was like, what? No, of course you do. Cause you're like cool guy. And he was like, I don't speed anywhere. It's like, and she's like, really? He's like, it's absolutely not worth it to me to get a speeding ticket. Like, I'll just get there. And I was like, I'm so glad like I heard that guy say that sentence. And I was like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to speed anywhere. And it's just like lived in my brain ever since then.
That is so amazing.
I know. Like, I was just like, yeah, you're right.
Like that right there is like one of those examples where it's just like, okay, it is always worth like expressing like those thoughts because you never know who's actually paying attention to you. And I bet you anything that guy would have no clue that he said something that like left such like a...
Oh,
like,
I know. And I'm sure he broke other rules that didn't seem as dangerous. But like for some reason in his brain, he had like singled out like speeding just like pointless.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's the thing is like, especially as like a high schooler, especially probably someone in that position, it's like your car is like your freedom in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And so it's like I am not letting anything impact my ability to be in my car.
Exactly.
Because like that is like the space I get to go. So that's like, you know, and it's so frustrating for me because I feel solace inside of my car. I feel like some of my best thinking happens inside of my car, especially with my cruise control on, which I was out driving, and as I went to press the button, the like switch, the whole lever like on my steering wheel,
oh gosh,
falls off.
What?
Like it just like it literally breaks, and I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? And I'm like, in the moment, like the like while I was in the car, I was in the car because I was like frustrated, and I was like, I need to just go, like, I need to go and drive. I need to go and like listen to like my book or music or just like like roll the windows down or like whatever. I just need to like go and drive. And the darn lever falls off, and I'm just like, how? Yeah. Like, come on. This is like such a minimally used, like, I mean, I use cruise control all the time, but like, there's so little that happens with it. It is like a button that you press and like gently adjust the lever. You know? Like, I am not like ripping it or something. It's not like Fast and the Furious Cruise Control Edition. Yeah.
that's the most boring Fast and Furious movie.
Right. Yeah. Like, instead of like hard cutting to like all of like the various like shifts happening, it's just like, boop.
Here we go. You ready, Brian?
35.
That's, you know, right.
36.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause we saw those people at the light. So it's like, it's on. But yeah, no. So like, it's one of those things where it snapped off. And then I was even more frustrated because then every time I went to turn the wheel, because the cruise control lever was attached to the wheel, it would like rotate up where it would then hit my windshield wiper knob. So then I would go to turn left and it would hit my windshield wipers on, and then I would turn even more and it would turn my turn signal on. Ugh. Because like the little lever is just like flapping in the breeze. So then I'm at like a stoplight and I have like my, you know, like my pocket knife, you know, that just happens, which I never ever use. It just is in my center console as like that, like sometimes you need it. Like a multi-tool or whatever. So like I'm at a stoplight, I pull out my multi-tool, sure, here we go again,
and just
clip the wires while I'm driving.
Oh yeah, that's safe.
Yeah, totally. Just, you know, no big deal. Just dealing with the electronics in your steering wheel.
Clipping more live wires, Ben.
I know.
Noticing a pattern.
I've got to stop. Yeah. I've got to stop. But so now my big thing is, so I ordered the replacement and I know how to replace it. But the thing that is just scaring the absolute pants off of me is that you have to take off the airbag to...
Oh, God.
Yeah, to replace this particular thing, which everybody online is like, it's not that big of a deal, but undo your battery terminal first, but like, because you just don't want any stray electricity in the car that might cause the airbag
to punch you in the face
because like if you're sitting there holding a screwdriver and the airbag punches you in the face,
right,
like,
the screwdriver might punch you in the chest.
Exactly. So people are like, I'm gonna stop listening to this podcast.
Yeah, like so many bad ideas, right?
Just take it to the shop. I can't, guys. It's a point of principle for me. But no, so anyway, that's like my great fear, because I do remember.
Wait, is that true? You're like just refusing to take it to the shop, though?
Sort of.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. I probably should.
Yeah. That's exactly what I would do. Yeah. Just be like, boom, fix it. Also, could you do a oil change and tire rotation? Thanks.
Right. Yeah. Look at that.
Look at that. You just run my state inspection. I'll just get ahead of it this year. Why wait? You know, I'm going to be busy in December. Holidays. Reset it into May.
New policy. Just get inspected every single time. I get my car inspected like every 3 months.
I'm very safe.
People who don't have state inspection in their state are like, what are you guys talking about?
What are you talking about?
Once a year, you have to take your vehicle in and they like make sure all the lights and buttons and stuff work. And then you get like a sticker. And if they don't work, then you get a rejection sticker and you have 15 days to fix everything. So,
and if you don't do the inspection, then the cops can just look at your windshield and be like, that's the wrong color. Pull them over. Here's a ticket.
Yep. So you don't want that. But anyway, so I remember I'm so scared of airbags for obvious reasons, because usually they're associated with car accidents, which nobody wants. But also when I was in high school working at a car dealership, I remember this one day where there was a recall on like some brand of vehicles airbags. And so we had like a whole slew of them that were coming through that needed to like have their airbags replaced. But then the guys at the shop just thought it would be incredibly fun to take one of the, you know, air quotes, faulty airbags out to like the pen where, you know, you would park all the, like, it's like a fenced in area where all the cars that are being worked on were parked. And we basically just set it face down and then hooked it up to a battery terminal. And dude, that thing shot like 45 feet in the air.
Wow.
So much force.
Jeez.
It was crazy. So I was like, ever since then, I've just been flat out terrified of airbags. So I'm just like, you know, now, I mean, it's probably, that alone is probably more than enough reason to just take it to the dealership and maybe do that.
Yeah, not have to deal with it yourself.
It's a good thing we had this conversation.
Yeah, maybe, right.
I'll do that. I'll call them when we get off.
Yeah, there you go. Don't let your pride get in the way, Ben.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Anyway, so there you go. That's my calamitous weekend.
There you go. Well, I'm glad you didn't die.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Transition.
Well done. Sure. Transition.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Arena Club. Okay, so y'all may be aware that we are pretty big fans of collecting Pokemon cards, meaning we have opened tons and tons of cards, but never have we opened cards the way you can with Arena Club. So here's how it works. Arena Club offers what's called slab packs, and the whole experience, top to bottom, is absolutely thrilling because what they do is put together this huge selection of cards, then they list all of the available cards you could potentially open so you know the pull rates, and then you digitally open your packs to reveal your latest pulls. And like, here is us genuinely opening up our last pack.
What is it? Oh my god, dude, it is literally the one we tried to open for earlier this week.
That is so crazy.
And what makes it fun is even though you're opening them digitally, whatever you open is your physical card. So after you crack the pack, they'll display them in your own personal showroom where people can like make trade or purchase offers, or you can have that physical card shipped right to your home, which is what we've been doing because we love like displaying our Pokemon cards in our collection stuff. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or just displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have got to check out. So right now you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/poppop, which, wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. But anyway, that's arenaclub.com/poppop for 10% off your first purchase.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Okay, so story time. Since the day that I met my wife, Alice, she has been all about secondhand clothing. So 2 years ago, we decided to take that idea and run with it and open a business called Nude. It's like the past tense of new because it's not really old, but you know, nude. Old is the new nude. You get it. Anyway, we'd both been in business, but she was hung up on how to start selling online. But fortunately, I had experience with Shopify, and to tell you that we got started in no time is a straight up understatement. We were busy being brand new parents to a 6 month old. We both have other jobs. And within 2 weeks of idea conception, we had the website up and running. So if you're on the fence, whether it's in the like launch your online shop stage to the first real store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Plus, even if you do have questions, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Mint Mobile. Okay, raise your hand if you were on your parents' phone plan and then grew up and eventually got that call letting you know it was time to leave the nest and secure your own, only to realize that wireless plans be expensive. Well, same, or if this has never happened to you, then spoilers, but Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3 month plan. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online, meaning they don't have retail stores or salespeople. Instead, they deliver premium phone plans directly to you. And let me tell you what, guys, we just finished our first ever tour and hit about 25% of the United States, and the service was perfect throughout the entire journey. And I'm saving like $240 per year compared to my old plan. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/poppop. That's mintmobile.com/poppop. Cut your wireless plan to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/poppop.
Ben, I had a weird amount of exposure to the New York Knicks this weekend. The New York Knicks, Ben.
I don't have accidental exposure to the New York Knicks literally ever.
It's never happened before.
It has never
happened. I mean accidental, sure.
I mean like it's possible that I've been at a bar while the Knicks have been playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I say bar, restaurant, anywhere that has TVs.
Anywhere that has TVs, yeah. So I didn't even realize that until I was sitting down to do the pop doc, and I was like, oh my god, like why? This is weird. What a weird coincidence is going on here. But
So the first thing that happened was Luke came home from school on Friday. It was field day, you know, the best day of the year.
It is the best day of the year. I loved field day.
Yeah, yeah, so much fun. But I guess like mostly the morning is field day, and then like the end of the day they were like watching a movie inside.
Okay.
And Luke was like trying to like, I guess maybe they didn't finish it, but he wanted to watch the rest of the movie. And I was like, oh boy, I've played this game before where Luke doesn't know the name of it and he's going to try and describe it to me.
Right.
And I'm going to have to like guess at, I have no idea. And he's like, it was just like, there was a dog and like a clown. And I'm like, Air Bud. And he's like, that's it. And I was like, yeah. Okay, cool. We can watch Air Bud. Of course.
Nice.
I know. I was like,
I don't think I've watched Air Bud in 25 years.
25 years, yeah. Well, I had not watched it in a very long time either. And, you know, mostly what I remember is dog plays basketball.
Yeah, that's all
and
I remember.
And guy who is clown wants dog from boy.
Okay. Don't
you, yeah.
Yeah, I do not remember. I am impressed that you remember the clown.
Well, I mean, so here's the rough premise of Air Bud is that there is this guy who is clearly just like a scumbag,
nice,
not a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a clown by trade, but he sucks at being a clown.
But he taught his dog to.
But he taught things. But the one thing he's done is taught his dog how to like hit a ball.
Okay.
So they open, you know, the clown sucks at doing the show. The dog can do his thing, but the dog falls off the back of his truck and like in a kennel, which is like, man, they filmed that. That was crazy. Maybe the dog wasn't in the kennel when they did it, but hopefully. And it's a pretty seamless little transition. But I was like, man. Anyway, also at the same time, new kid moves to town. His dad has died, which is like super sad.
Okay.
And the one thing he's finding that he like makes him feel better is that he finds this like abandoned basketball court at this abandoned church, and he like cleans it up, and the dog is there, of course. And he figures out the dog knows how to do this trick, and you know, then the rest is history. They become the school mascot, and they go to state. And everything is great. The movie is like remarkably good. I could not believe it. Like I remembered it as a kid, but like to me, since Air Bud came out, there's been 1,000 Air Bud spinoffs with every sport imaginable where dogs, you know, outperform everyone at sport.
At sport,
and it's awesome. But like, and I think all the spinoffs just make the original feel like watered down, but like the original was so good. Like me and Beth are both just sort of like, are you about to cry? She's like, yes. It was like, oh, this is so sad at times.
Isn't there a moment? Okay. I feel like I'm having one thing.
Yeah.
Is there a moment where Air Bud is sitting in between the clown and the mm-hmm. boy, and
yeah,
that he like the like the dog has to choose
yeah
who to go to.
Yeah, well, so it's a completely ridiculous little like court case they have going on here.
Okay.
Where, you know, the judge is like trying, he's like never heard of a dog custody case before, which he's like, what, this is the most ridiculous thing ever. And I'm like, this cannot be, this doesn't even seem that uncommon.
Oh, like,
honestly,
like,
yeah,
like a divide over who gets the dog.
Yeah.
No,
who gets the dog. Yeah. So they're at there, and in walks the coach for the basketball team, and he's like, I have an idea. Why don't we let the dog decide? And, you know, the judge is like, that's a great idea, because I remember you from when you used to play for the New York Knicks, and I was there when you beat the Celtics at the buzzer or whatever. And I was like, but so part of the story is that the janitor at the school is an ex-NBA player who now, I guess, just works at the school.
Okay.
Doing this for some reason.
Okay.
But the, you know, the main character discovers like all of his old Knicks gear in his office, and is like, the actual head coach ends up being a real, real toxic personality, and he gets fired, and the kid's like, why don't we ask the janitor? And she's like, oh, okay. And then turns out, yeah, he's amazing because he's an ex-NBA player.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know, teaches the kids teamwork and stuff. And
yay,
he's the one who's like, there's no rule that says dogs can't play basketball. And the ref's like, I guess that's true. Let's let him play.
Yeah, I do remember that, like from the previews. I
yeah.
feel like it was like, all right. It's like, how why is the dog allowed to play? It's like, there's no rule that says against it. Sounds good enough.
Sounds
to me.
Good. That works. So anyway, that was exposure number one.
Okay.
Is that the janitor used to play for the Knicks?
Okay.
Great.
Got it.
So the next one, a little bit more intentional on my part. I've been following the NBA playoffs. This year, because we went to our Celtics game earlier this year where they just dominated the Wizards.
Yeah, it had quite an impact on you,
dude,
I feel.
It was so, yeah. It was, well, I think it was like, one, being there in person was so fun.
It was really cool.
Like, I mean, like, I've been to in-person basketball games before, but like, I don't expose myself to that much basketball, but like, we were doing that, and then because JMU was in March Madness this year, we like watched a couple of their games. And, like, every time we were watching basketball, Beth would just be like, you are like, you really enjoy this. Like, I rarely see you have as much fun watching anything as the past few nights we've watched basketball. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. What an observation.
I think you and I maybe both have a degree of this where it's like somebody almost needs to inform us when we are properly enjoying ourselves. Right, it's like you're having fun. It's like, oh
yeah. I was like, I mean, I am. Yeah, you're right. And so, you know, ever since the, and so we, then we went to the game in person and it was like, it was just so much fun because, I mean, well, one, I think it helped that, one, the Celtics are just already the best team in the league this year, at least regular season-wise, and the Wizards were really not. We were just getting to see them put on a show, and it was super fun.
It was.
And so I've just been like, I don't know. I was like, you know what? Let's do it. I don't really have an NBA team. Celtics, you made a great impression. You won me over. I'm in.
I was a free agent.
I was a free agent. No, you guys won me. Let's go. You know, I don't even care. We've rooted for the Patriots for a long time. You know, our dad, the reason we went to that game is because our dad is a Celtics fan anyway. Yeah, yeah. So it's just like, you know what? You got me. I'm in. Let's do it.
Yep.
All the way. As you might expect, the Celtics have already qualified. They won their series in five games, no problem. They're into the Eastern Conference Finals. So the game this weekend was to determine, it was game seven between the Pacers and the Knicks to determine who would play the Celtics in the next round.
Okay.
So I'm just like, well, it's on. May as well watch this, see what we're up against here.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? So the Knicks, who were favored to win, or at least higher seeded, got destroyed in game seven
by
the Pacers. Yeah. I mean, I turned it on. I couldn't believe it. They were down 15, and they seemed like they came out of halftime with, you know, a fire lit under them, and they brought it back to within eight and then immediately dropped it back to 15 and could not overcome that at all the whole second half.
Is this not a joke inside of the movie, the Pixar movie Soul?
Yeah.
Where like the Knicks are like famously like good at losing at exactly the wrong moment.
Yeah, yeah, because 22 is messing with them.
Yes, yes.
Yes. This is another great example. That for some reason the Knicks are like the punching bag of like Hollywood, I guess, maybe.
Must be.
I don't know. Or maybe not, because Air Bud, it was like, oh, this is his credibility. Ex-Knicks player, you know? So that was exposure number two. And then last night, me and Beth are trying to figure out like what to watch, like close out the weekend here. And she's like, oh my gosh, wait. Like we were looking at like the movies on Apple TV, and one of them was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. And she's like, wait, you said you never seen that, right? And I was like, I have not seen it. She's like, let's just watch that. It'll be fun. And I was like, all right, whatever. You know, let's do it.
Was it great?
I mean, yeah, I was watching it.
I've never seen it.
Awesome. Well, maybe you should watch it. I didn't really know what it was about, and I always confuse it with, there's How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and then 10 Things I Hate About You, which are both. I know.
Could not have told you that those were two different movies.
They're both, exactly. Yeah, in my mind, they're basically just rom-coms with the number 10 in the title from almost the same time period.
Yeah.
So How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Kate Hudson, Matthew McConaughey. I'm watching it, and like the basic premise is she's trying to get him to break up with her, and he's trying to make her fall in love with her, both for reasons that are outside of the relationship that will advance their careers.
Okay.
Right. So that's the premise. So she keeps acting increasingly crazy, and he keeps being increasingly accepting, although obviously bothered.
Hijinks
continue to ensue because they each have to keep raising the stakes. But in the background, the thing that like you can tell is actually their connective tissue, and while they'll end up at the end, is like throughout their 10 days together is the time period in which the New York Knicks are playing the Sacramento Kings in the 2002 NBA playoffs, which doesn't happen in real life.
Okay. it's a
fictional series happening in the background that like each date is sort of punctuated by like, all right, game three's on, game four's on, game six is on. And like, they both really care about the Knicks winning, but you know, she keeps having to like hide how much she cares, and he keeps having to like not watch because she's interrupting it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so this is like the background story is how the Knicks are doing.
They both love the Knicks.
Yeah, they both love the Knicks. And like the first date is like at the Knicks game, and you can tell like at first, like they're both really into it and they actually are good together, but like, you know, then they start doing their thing.
For
the sake of the movie. So I'm sure that's gonna be the connective tissue that brings them all back together. But that's like I have Air Bud, and then I watch the actual Knicks play, and then I'm watching this rom com from 2002. And the Knicks are like a big part of it again. And I'm like, what is going on here?
I don't know.
They're just everywhere all of a sudden. That is a weird Knick weekend.
It is. Yes, it is. It is.
Which won't matter because they lost to the Pacers. So it's not like I'm going to be exposed to them again more this week.
Right.
When the Celtics start just laying a beating on them.
This is yeah, it's like a bizarre concentration of the Knicks.
Yeah, I know. Like, this is weird. So, because, yeah, I would say most years at a time, I go without even talking about them.
I was going to say, yeah. Like, the Knicks are, like, one of those teams. Like, I know that they're, like, a professional sports team and stuff. But sometimes it's almost like the Brooklyn Dodgers, who are now the LA Dodgers. Yeah. It's almost like, in my mind, I'm like, oh, that was a team that used to exist. It's like, sometimes I think that the New York Knicks don't exist anymore. Like,
they
like,
sure do.
They do. Yeah. It's like, but like, I just don't know enough about, I don't follow basketball. And I'm not very leaned in. And so it's just sort of like, they're a name that I feel like I hear often enough. But even like what you said, like with like movies, it's like, yeah, they're sort of like the like constant, you know, like example of popular sports team to do in the movies. Like, yeah, maybe because they're like, I don't know, not the Yankees or the Red Sox or,
I know. Feel like it's just like, if you, because so many movies and TV shows take place in New York City,
right?
And like,
right.
if you want your characters to be involved in a sports team, like the Knicks are just an easy one to pick.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. And I wonder at all if it's ever like so much talent grows up in New York that like, even if they make it to LA, they're like, yeah, I'm pulling my team back in.
Right. Yeah.
I'm gonna write them into the narrative.
Exactly. Yeah. So, movies, it's like, it's always the Lakers or the Knicks. Right. Or the Bulls, probably.
or the Bulls. There you go. Oh man. Okay. Well, so lots of Knicks. But you are standing firm in Celtics territory.
Standing firm in Celtics territory. They are now in the Eastern Conference Championships. As you're hearing it, at least two, maybe three games have happened. I don't know how they've gone, obviously, but the first game is tomorrow night as we're sitting here recording.
Okay.
And I'm like in a weird spot too, because the way they do it in the NBA is like a best of seven.
Okay.
So you got to win four games to move on to the next round. So it's sort of like, you know, like you want to watch them all, but it's like the stakes aren't really high until it's like win or go home, or like win in advance, you know?
Okay.
It's like I want to, like, part of me is like, I just want, like, if they make it to the next round, especially, I feel like I want to make a big deal out of every single game, you know?
Right.
Like, yeah, can we have people over just like to watch every game and like make, like, just like get into it for the sake of it. It'll be fun to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is always permitted.
Well, okay. Cool. Well, if we get past the Eastern, when we get past the Eastern Conference Championships here,
it's on.
Then it's on. Yeah. You know, expect my text.
Okay. I'll do it. I'll do it. Looking forward to it.
That's going
to
be good.
One more transition?
Sure. Okay, Ben. So you talked earlier about, you have like a certain amount of like pride about going to the dealership.
Yeah, for car repair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things like where this has become a trope. I think I say it's one of those things.
It's one of those things.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Yeah. Put it on the bingo card. It's one of those things that where it's like I don't think I have like a huge issue like spending money. I would not describe myself as like a frugal person, but there is like a huge part of me that is like, if I think I can do something, then a lot of times I am like extremely opposed to a world where I like pay for the labor costs. Mm-hmm. So it's like I usually will only pay for labor costs on things that I am certain I can't do.
I see.
It's like, you know, I don't even know if that sweeping declaration is correct in all aspects of it, but like that is like one thing in particular, like when it comes to like repairs and stuff like that, where it's like I like to try my hand at it to see if I can, like, if I can do it.
Yeah.
So that's sort of like where the pride starts and ends.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right.
Why do you ask?
Well, I just, so this, I was every, I feel like every time I go to the hardware store, I'm encountered, I feel like there's this like inferiority complex I feel.
Okay.
Where I'm like, I don't always know if I'm doing something correctly. And I feel like even the act of asking sort of just like reveals my hand that like, oh wow, you don't know that or something.
Right. You know? I do know what you're talking about. What's interesting about it though, is I almost think that like the more confidence inside of that space that you have, the more it's like, I'm asking a reasonable question that somebody might not know the answer to.
Yeah.
But it's like, you almost like might need to know enough scope to know that you are asking a question that is reasonable to ask.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like,
yeah,
really all questions are okay to ask.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I mean, you gotta get what you need and stuff. So
exactly.
There's that. But so I am, at the hardware store this, you know, weekend, buying tomatoes, as one does.
Nice.
Right?
Nice.
Yeah. They've got their little out there. And like, I've noticed this about buying vegetables is that a lot of times, like if you go to the store, it'll say like lettuce, for example, it'll be like iceberg, romaine, whatever. It'll have like words, you know.
Yes.
Yes. But then if you go to buy the seeds for the lettuce, it won't say iceberg, romaine, whatever.
Right.
It'll have like the burpless buttery leaf lettuce, and you're like, what does that mean? Like,
yes.
What is this? Why don't you just put what it is?
No, I know. I encountered the exact same thing over the weekend, like where I'm like walking through all of the vegetables and I'm looking at all the varying types and you know, like odd names and stuff like that. I'm like, do most people who are shopping for these things know the difference?
I know.
Between all the various like categories or whatever, because it's just like, if it just said tomato, I'd be like, all right, I'll take one of those.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, like I think one of the lettuces I'm growing is just called salad bowl lettuce. And I'm like, this doesn't feel like I could see where if you were just like, yeah, I want to grow my own lettuce for salads, I'd pick this up. But like people put all kinds of lettuce in salads, you know? And this is clearly going to be one of those kinds.
How remarkably nonspecific.
I know. How nonspecific. Like, I could tell you that like Beth doesn't want certain kinds of lettuce, so I don't want to be out there growing the wrong kind all summer.
Right, yeah. What are you going to do annoying. With it?
So I had the same problem this weekend. One, first with tomatoes, of which you're right. Like, all I want is just like, yeah, tomatoes. And like, Beth, she's like, I want little tomatoes and then like, you know, big ones and stuff. And I'm like, okay, fine. She's like, yeah, like cherry or grape or something. I'm not sure what they're called. And I'm like, yeah, I'll figure it out.
Right. How hard can it be?
And I get there and there's literally just like cherry tomatoes, grape tomatoes. And I'm like, well, oh no.
Oh man.
What do? Cherry. We're doing that. These look rounder. Okay, cool. And then I go to big tomatoes. Oh, I thought that two options was a big deal, Ben. There's like 10.
And
they've got, this is worse than the lettuce. They've all got ridiculous names.
They do.
They're like, this is celebrity tomatoes. And this is like German Harrison tomatoes. And you're like, what? And like, you know, they'll have little pictures of them on the thing, which all just look like tomatoes.
Right.
And then you'll look them up online and they won't match the picture on the tag. You're like, I have no idea what I'm aiming for here. So I think I ended up with some celebrity tomatoes and some of the German ones. And then there was like 10 other varieties. I was like, I don't know.
I'm overwhelmed. I can't do it.
You know what? I'm going to have tomatoes and it's probably fine. How different can they be?
This feels like one of those. Yeah. And that's the thing. In my head, I'm like, for the most part, the variance in tomatoes largely comes down to like the shape.
Yeah.
But not
well,
the
maybe. But so like then I'm like trying to look up like, okay, what is, you know, what's the like most flavorful, or like, you know, if you want to put them just like in salad or on sandwiches, like what's the one? And like consistently on like every list is like beef eater tomatoes. That's what you want. Beef eater. And I'm like, okay, I remember I had these last year. My friend Nora gave me some. So clearly this is every website says beef eater. And I'm looking, there's 10 varieties here. None of them say beef eater. And I'm like, clearly they go by a different name at the store.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. This is or they're so popular that they've just been picked over and now I don't know what to do. But maybe I have them, maybe I don't. Who knows? Why wouldn't you just call them that in the store if that's what everyone wants? I don't know. Super annoying. But so anyway, I'll just decide, don't overthink it. Tomatoes will be tomatoes. You're going to be happy with it. It's fine. We're good.
Right. Okay.
I pick out some, put them on my card. And then last year, something I didn't do was use like tomato cages, I guess.
Right. Yeah. I haven't done that. I have never used those either.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess what happened last year was that it's just sort of spread out and like the weight of them will like pull the vines down and they'll land on the ground or they'll break each other. So I guess the cages are just there for them to like wrap around and grow up and not have that happen.
It's like a backbone
basically. So I'm like, okay, tomato cages, I'm gonna do that this year. Hopefully they'll grow up and not out and I'll just get more tomatoes. It'll be super good. And then I like, so I go over to the section of the store where the cages are and they've got several variety which all seem possibly too short, because everything I'm reading online is like these can grow up to like 5 or 6 feet tall and all the cages like stop at 4 feet tall. And I'm like, this is sort of weird.
Why would they all be so small?
Why would you sell things that grow this tall and not make the cages this tall? I don't know, but I just got the biggest ones I could find. But then every single one, and it's not like in the store where people are like walking around to help you. They're like in a corner outside where all the cages are, and they've all just got this like string tied to them so that they're all like stuck together so you cannot remove them. Like, clearly, since they have been ordered by the store and since they've put them out here, no one has picked one up.
None at all.
Like, so, none at all.
Oh, wow.
All of them have the string on there, which was clearly part of the shipping process so they wouldn't come apart in the shipping.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, yep,
so,
yep.
But now I'm like, well, now I'm starting to feel a little self-conscious again because I'm like, why are all of them unopened? How is it possible that we're this far into people planting stuff and not one person has needed to come over here and get a tomato cage? You know, like, certainly someone's bought one for their garden, but clearly not because they're all still brand spanking new.
Wow.
I know. Wow. I'm like, do people not do these? Am I doing this wrong? It says right here, tomato cage, do this, grows up. Like, what am I missing? What am I missing here? And I'm like, I don't know. You get that feeling of just like, I'm doing something wrong.
Yep.
I'm messing up.
You're going to have people driving by your house, like honking the horn with their windows down. And like, hey, tomato cage.
Exactly.
You're like, hey, it's that guy.
You don't need those. You
know? How embarrassing.
That's what it feels like. You're like, if I go in the store and buy this, you're going to be like, oh, you're trying these. Okay. These are kind of a scam, but all right. You know, like, you just really, you know, hook, line and sinker here. All right. Good for you. Good luck. You know,
you fell for it.
That's what it feels like when I'm out there. So I'm like, I guess I'm just going to have to cut the string and get these out of here. And that's what I did. And I'm using the cages. So hopefully they work.
I think you're going to be good.
It's so annoying the number of times things like this pop up. And it's like worse when you're at the hardware store. He's like, I feel like I'm supposed to know the answer before I came. And now I felt like I did. Like, I looked up videos and they're like, yeah, tomato cages, definitely use them. I'm Joe Gardner. This is my YouTube channel. I have 100,000 subscribers. I absolutely know what I'm talking about. I'm like, Joe Gardner knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe Gardner
exactly.
knows what to do. Tomato cages.
Can I show you a video that proves that
he said do it.
Right.
I'm trying to follow the video. Why hasn't anyone else got a cage?
Yeah, no, I'm surprised, though, that I can't figure out, especially this time of year where everybody would be planting, I can't figure out why they would be outside and restricted in the capacity that you're describing.
I know.
If anything, I feel like I have been, like, self-conscious about not using them in the past, and it's because, like, I would go to the store to buy them, and they were sold out.
Yeah, people
are going
to be like, whoa, where's your cages?
I know, yeah, exactly, yeah, that's my issue, you know, it's like, there's, like a group of, like, guys in my neighborhood, all of whom are, like, into about the same activities. Like, we all have, like, the same pellet smoker grill next to the same propane gas grill under covers in our backyard. So, like, you can walk, like, through, like, our neighborhood, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, we are all doing the same things.
Right.
And they all use tomato cages in their gardens, and I've never had them.
And you haven't had them.
And my tomatoes okay,
So people are using them.
People are using them.
Oh, okay, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So if anything, I think you're ahead of the curve, and if anything, I should be the one who's just flat out humiliated for
that's
not
what it sounds
them.
Like. Yeah. Well, I can tell you what, no one shopping at my Ace Hardware is using them except me, apparently.
Except for you. Apparently.
Yeah.
Man.
Or there was a supply inside that I was unaware of or something, but I don't think so.
I'm going to go to Ace Hardware today. I want to go explore. I need
Do
to
it.
See what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That seems so strange to me.
I know. I was just like, what's going on? Certainly people need these.
Certainly.
Right.
I know. Yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair. I also got my garden planted over the weekend. So
okay.
I'm in good standing.
There's part of me that is like, that always gets like, when I'm out there, like, just by myself, I like feel very good about it. It's like, part of me is like, this isn't that complicated. It's like, plants want to grow, you know,
yeah.
Put them in the ground. They want to grow. Water them, sunlight, pretty much, you know, you can mess it up, but they want to grow.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm always like, I don't know why I have such a hard time like second guessing myself. And part of me feels like I'm sort of just like making it up too. Cause like no one's telling me what to do. I'm just like reading the pack and do what the pack says, water it. It grows. Right. You know?
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's basically it.
Jay, I have to say there is nothing more helpful to my own psyche than listening to you talk about the woes of the hardware store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, I think all the time people are always telling me that I worry too much.
Yeah.
And there is nothing that makes it more obvious that like that could be true than listening to things that you're worrying about that I am 1,000% sure are not issues.
I know. And I know. It's like the stupid thing to feel self-conscious about. And it's like, but it also reminds me of like trading card games. This is a weird transition.
It's a great We're transition.
Like,
yeah.
Oftentimes, my favorite part is when you're first getting in and you don't really know exactly what counts as like, you know, like super good at a competitive level or something. It's like you've only got, you know, the cards you have, and it's super easy to go like, buy a new pack, and now it's like if you just have a deck of 60 cards and this is all you have and you go buy a pack and it's got 10 new cards, it's pretty easy to be like, well, this card is just clearly better than this card. Instant upgrade. Now the deck is better.
Right.
And you can always do that right when you're starting out for a little while it's just sort of like, yeah, everything is clearly better and you always feel like you're improving. And at some point you get to the part where it's like, now I have to start making decisions about maybe that card I took out actually does work better with these other things or whatever.
Right.
And so sometimes when I'm out there gardening, I feel like, yeah, it's like that early stage where it's just like, I don't really know. So I'm just sort of like making it up, but everything seems like it's working. So great.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. I do think you're right. Like, I think that there's, whenever you get into like a new hobby, I think that like the growth curve, especially in the beginning, is such a fun, like wild ride to be on. But sometimes I think that's like where like certain new hobbies can be mildly like misleading. Like for me, I think in particular, where like I can get into something new and I really love the growth curve because yeah. It's like every single thing I'm doing is giving me like a new piece of information about like what I need to be doing. And you're right. It's sort of like any results are better than the no results that I was having before because I wasn't even trying.
Right.
And then you do reach that stage where it's like, okay, now I've got like diminishing returns on like, you know, my investments of my energy because like I'm just getting better and better and better at it. And in order to excel more, it's almost like, okay, now I'm really having to commit like,
right.
like a lot more energy to get like that next like little step forward. So I think that can be like an interesting stage where it's sort of like, did you fall in love with like a passion for like just being there, being a part of it? Or did you even fall in love with like getting to learn something new about a thing?
And
it's sort of,
right.
It's fun to explore in this like brand new world. But then like once you kind of find like the outer limits of it without having to like take the next big plunge, it's like, okay, maybe I've like seen all I can see.
Right. Yeah. You know? So it's like, yeah, I don't know. Like if I feel like it's one of those things, like I feel like I'm out there like all the time. I just like enjoy doing it or like pulling the weeds and stuff and, you know, keeping it clean, making sure I'm doing everything, hopefully doing everything right. I can't, like, it's part of me wonders, like, if I talk to someone, they'd be like, oh, yeah, you probably need to pull weeds like once a week. You don't need to be out there like every day or something. I'm like, but then it's also like, well, you can never really not be pulling enough weeds, right? Like it's never good for them to be there.
Yeah, no, I think right? yeah, exactly. Right. It's like, no, I think that's just a well-tended garden.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Hopefully I'm just doing a great job, but I have no one to inform me one way or the other.
You are doing
and it's
a good
like,
job.
You know, not that it matters, because as long as you get food out of it at all, you've won.
You've won.
There's no like competition at all.
Do you think you struggle with that at all? Like, cause you're a competitive person.
I think I struggle with like feeling like I'm putting a ton of energy in and I'm worried that like by the end of the summer, like nothing will have grown. Like there's like things look like they're growing right now, but like once they start to grow bigger, they'll start using more resources and then like you'll have done something wrong and they will wither on the vine. And I'll have put in a ton of resources that didn't yield anything.
I see.
Yeah.
So the concern is like eventually, like if it doesn't work out, it's like, oh man, like at what point in the process did I like fail to know a necessary
step? Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like there's like a part of like, have I shot myself in the foot and not realized it? And it won't reveal itself until several months from now when you like put in a ton of time and effort into something that was like shot from the beginning.
Right.
Because yeah, you didn't know some critical thing.
But if you're enjoying every step of the process up until that moment, like does that still just make it worth it?
Well, it probably until then, and until then you're like, and then it feels like, then it would feel embarrassing.
But like in front of who?
But to me.
To you. Just internally.
Yes.
It's like, oh man, I spent all that time doing this. And,
yeah.
And now?
I know. It'd be like, I could have like, oh, what else could I have been doing? Or like it would be like all that time you were out there, you could have been like doing other stuff, you know, or whatever.
But you like doing this
but
stuff.
I do like doing it, but I want it to succeed, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's is interesting. I mean, I'm only prying because it feels like such a reversal of roles.
I know.
And,
yeah.
And I'm enjoying it so much. It's like this is so nice.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I mean, it genuinely is like a fascinating question because it's almost like if you're having fun right now, not knowing what tomorrow holds, then it's almost like you've enjoyed yourself. And so it's like it's interesting to me that like at some point in the process, if something goes wrong further down the line, it can undo the enjoyment at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Like I suppose on some level you could compare that to like breaking up with like a significant other where it's like you've had like all the, like, you know, it's like even if you've broken up, it's like chances are you had fun times at some point.
Yeah.
And like after you've broken up, it's always like, I don't know how to regard those memories anymore.
Right.
Because it's not like I wasn't having fun, but it's like, I also like, I don't know how to pick those up.
They've all been tainted.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. So maybe that's like what's happening is that it's like you're having fun at this point in time. So the only thing that could taint the having fun at this point in time is the lack of produce yielded
right.
by your plants.
Exactly.
But then it could like take what has been fun. So like if you spent the whole weekend gardening and had a great time and you came in on Monday morning, you're like, dude, what a great time.
Yeah.
I was out in the yard, I was my hands in the dirt, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, this is the best. But like at some point in time, something that literally could have brought you into Monday morning in a good mood could actually be something that is like otherwise like taken after the fact.
Right.
You know, but it's parked behind you.
Because so. It would feel like you were like, it would feel like not, I don't even know what the word, not like hypocritical or something, but like you would walk in like you had this like misplaced confidence or something.
Oh, you know? That's interesting too.
Right. Like yeah. you thought you were doing so good and it's like you show up and it's at the end of the day and it's like, yeah, you spent like all summer working on something like, and you just like the, you were, it feels like having the misplaced confidence because it takes such a long time to know if it's going to be working.
Right.
You know, it's like if you put in so much time ahead of time and you feel good about doing it and you were like having a blast and then you get to it and it finds out that like you sucked at it and nothing happened. Then it was just like, it makes it feel like it will be difficult to feel confident about other things.
It is extremely funny, and I won't dive into it too aggressively. But as you were describing that, I was like not thinking about plants anymore.
Yeah,
I was like, this is such an analogy for life.
I mean, I know it is. I know it is. Like, it absolutely is. It's funny how it like manifests in like different places.
It's such. It was so like you were describing something. Like I was like, wow, this is all clicking. This clicks perfectly.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of really good sense.
Yeah,
but not about plants.
Not about plants. What are you thinking about?
Nothing. I don't know.
What nothing. Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well,
So it'll be interesting. I'll be dying to know more about your plant growth as the season unfolds.
I know. We'll see.
Because the other end of the spectrum is that maybe you'll have like award-winning trophy grade. Like you could go to the Salem Fair, you know, in Virginia,
right.
and proudly display your cucumbers,
guess
zucchinis,
we'll
tomatoes.
Well, we're not growing zucchinis, so that'd be really impressive.
Oh, that would be very impressive.
Yeah, in fact, just like, guess what? I didn't even plant these. They just showed up.
They just showed up.
They were just like, wow, that garden looks good. We're going to grow there.
Yeah. And I won. Blue ribbon.
Boom. That'd be the most shocking thing ever.
I will say that once upon a time, I did walk through the Salem Fair's produce competition.
Yeah.
And I do think you could win.
Oh.
Like, without seeing any yield whatsoever, I believe you could win.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like, if I put my mind to it.
No, not even if you put your mind to it, if you entered.
Okay.
At all.
All yes, right.
Yeah.
So, for what it's worth, I'm pretty sure I'm doing, I don't think I've done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Or, like, I think everything, you know, the stuff seems like it's growing. It seems fine. My new concern is that I've overcrowded and that, like, am I going to have to prune now? Like,
right.
I put more stuff in there than was last year. Is it too close together? Is it going to, like, cannibalize itself? I don't know.
This is major life experience.
Major, I know. Then it's just like, at some point, you're also just learning, too, right, which is also just good to have.
Exactly.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah. So maybe one day, you know, Luke or Nick or Nate will be, like, planting their garden.
Yeah.
And you'll come over for, like, a backyard barbecue mm-hmm. or something. And they're like, Dad, check it out. I'm planting a garden. And you're like, oh, see, you did. Mm-hmm. You made these mistakes and you did this.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, because they're out there with me, they'll just know. You know,
that's true too.
They're just learning
true.
Now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. They, exactly. they grew up on this stuff.
Yeah. They'll be like out there, and their wives will just be like, "How do you know how to do all this stuff? Didn't you grow up in the suburbs?" And they're like, "My dad had a garden, so
yeah, it was kind of like a big part of like
kind of like a thing. We'd go out there and we'd pick cucumbers and tomatoes and stuff.
He'd wake us all up at 6 a.m. every Saturday morning, and like, God, boys, it's harvest time. Okay, it's
harvest time. It only takes about 10 minutes. It's like a small garden.
it's like 12 feet by 12 feet, but you know. We're going to be out there till like probably 6:17.
I know. I'm like, know? Like that is my new thing. Cause I've got like at least like five like cucumber mounds. I guess you make like this big pile and then grow them out. I've got like five of those. I've got like four rows of lettuce. I've got like eight pepper plants. I've got like eight tomato plants. So I'm like, this is,
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
Who knows? Who knows?
Not a lot.
Maybe in 10 years, we'll be doing Super Garden Brothers.
Super Garden Brothers? sounds pretty good, too.
It does
sound
pretty good. Yeah.
There's this, I drive past this, I go down this, when I'm driving Luke to school every morning, I've slowly been watching someone else set up what is clearly going to be like corn. And like every, like you'll drive past it one week and it's like, oh, that used to be grass. And now it's just like a big giant dirt rectangle. And it's like the next week and now there's a fence around it. And it's like, and now it's plowed. It's
that's like, awesome. You know,
it's like clearly they're making progress and they're going to have just a nice big old field of corn at some point. Yeah.
This is where like we almost need like a old school system of like social media, but just IRL.
Yeah.
Where you could just go like leave like a comment on their door and just be like, right. Keep up the good work.
Keep it up, man.
But enjoy the progress.
How's your harvest coming?
Yeah. Like just you know, like can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. When are you gonna harvest? What's it gonna come out?
Jay, it's like a vlog but real life.
It's like a vlog but real life. Yeah. It's like it's just like neighbors basically.
it's like neighbors. Can you imagine our grandparents listening to this and being like, oh my gosh, like they'd be like pulling their hair out. They'd be like, just go talk to them.
Just go talk to them, man.
Like he can't talk to strangers.
Never known our grandparents. It's surprisingly I've not known our grandparents to grow crops. You know?
Yeah, maybe not.
They live on a farm.
They do.
They got plenty of room.
There's tons of room.
You know?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe it was in their heyday.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Or maybe they just grew hay in their heyday.
Maybe. Could be. I guess they had horses at one point.
I believe so. Yeah. Maybe you will one day too.
Maybe.
Follow in their footsteps. Anyway, guys, as always, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I think it was just a hootin' and hollering good time. We covered all sorts of things like, you know, near hand death experiences.
The New York Knicks.
The New York
Knicks. Air Bud.
Yeah. Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Such thrilling and exciting stuff for this week's episode of The Pop. If you have any feedback, as ever, you can send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to support the show, we would super appreciate it. You can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We got that exclusive quarterly merch going on right now where you can sign up and get that pop socket at the end of the quarter. It's going to be a lot of fun. Link in the show notes or description down below. But otherwise, until next time,
pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager. And the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.